and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Yep, it is Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there in L.A. I'm in Las Vegas. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
And you, sir, are kind of a mess. What's going on?
Really?
Well, you're sound, yeah. Your nose congested. You're tired. What's going on here?
Well, all right.
You loaded?
I had a cocktail. It's no big deal.
But it's interesting how I can tell immediately what's going on with you.
What? You went right for the sinuses.
Well, I just hear languishing and congested.
I had one highball with dinner tonight, Drew. How dare you attempt to discredit me?
You know what? What's the pyramid? The Luxor. The Luxor, they have those drinks that are like 6 feet tall with a big straw in it.
No, this is like 4 feet.
Okay.
No, I had a gin and tonic with my meal. Only one. Turned down the second. Ate at a beautiful steakhouse. $65 for a goddamn steak.
What?
Yeah. And you know what's crazy, too? The more expensive the entree is, nothing comes with it.
Right, you got to buy the asparagus separate, the rice separate.
It's weird. It's like, hey, it's $65 for a steak. Great. You want some asparagus? Yeah, $9. You want a potato? Okay. $4. I mean, it's weird. Like, the more money it costs to start out with, the less crap you get with it.
It's just a weird justification for them to be like an old New York chop house, you know?
Yeah, you know what's weird about this old school chop house?
Yeah.
I ate with three guys and one woman, and the woman's menu had no prices.
Oh.
Have you ever seen that?
Where they have the... That's very funny.
You could picture.
And she was what? Right. She was a network president or something?
She was paying.
Yeah, right.
Literally a millionaire.
Yeah, me too.
It was very ironic that the woman, because it's an old school place, her menu had no numbers on it. Of the other three guys, Cousin Sal and Jimmy, all had the numbers on there, yet she was the one who was paying.
If she had known you were ordering the $65 steak, she would have kicked your ass.
Oh.
So it's good.
I just tried to make some coffee here at the studio, and it turned into a Lucy sketch with the coffee maker running while the pot wasn't under it, and the old grounds going everywhere, and black juice everywhere.
They have that huge rumpus room around the corner there, right? It's a big room.
Yeah, well, it's right next to where I'm. I'm destroying it with coffee now. I'm
flooding it out.
Now, let me ask you this real fast, Drew, before we get to the kitties. What is it about coffee that makes it go bad?
You mean, when it's not fresh, I mean?
Yeah, I wanted that myself. It doesn't go bad, but what I'm saying is you take a quart of OJ, you put it in the fridge, it's there for a week.
Right.
It's fine. It's just no different the day you open it than 7-8 days later.
Yes.
And the same with lemonade, and the same with iced tea.
Same with, like, hot chocolate, even. Really?
Not chocolate. Tea doesn't go bad.
Why does
coffee go bad when it's been sitting there for a couple hours?
It's just cold. Then you heat it back up.
No, it's
awful.
Not cold.
That's the point. You heat it back up, you figure it's just gone cold. You heat it back up, it tastes like crap.
Right, okay. I'm with you on that, but even when it's sitting on the warmer for 3 hours,
good. Then my feeling
then it's worse.
It concentrates. It seems like the water evaporates.
Okay. Whatever it is, for some reason coffee goes bad. I'd like to figure out the molecular structure of coffee and invent something that didn't go bad.
Oh.
I'm in the process of trying to make some. I don't think it's going to work.
In the meantime,
ready to get going here?
I indeed am. Let's talk to Ryan, who's 14. Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Ryan.
My question is kind of bogus, but my friend has poison oak on his penis.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
That's funny to you.
Kind of a hardware question for Adam.
Well, first of all, what's your friend doing with the poison oak? How did he get poison oak on his penis?
He touched it and then he beat off or something. Yeah, he's stupid.
Okay. Is he using
Drew? Drew?
Yeah.
All right, be prepared to drop many of these callers prematurely.
I have a hardware
question for you, Adam.
Very fast.
Okay, I have a hardware question.
Go.
Do you think if you put propane up to a blowtorch, it would work? Like, would it melt like metal?
No, it's not going to melt metal.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, you can sweat copper pipe with it if you want to just melt some lead. You're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to melt any lead, any metal.
Yes.
If you want to bend some metal and you keep the heat on it long enough, it'll make it a little more pliable.
Move my lawn. This is Lori, who's 38.
Idiot.
Lori.
Yes.
Hey.
Hey. First of all, I need to blame Adam's father for all of my problems because he was never there for me.
Yeah.
Adam's father was never there for you?
He was never here for me, no.
Right, I told everyone a few nights ago to start blaming my dad.
Oh, I see. Okay, right, got it.
I like Adam's theories on quicksand and how it's long gone and they should bring it back.
I had something else the other day where I thought, man, this is a good one for you, Adam. I'll think about it.
All right, well, let's just keep moving along.
Okay, here. Since we live in an age of sexual promiscuity, I keep hearing, because I listen every night faithfully at work, The girls that call, automatically it goes back to the father, that they're sexually promiscuous or they have problems that they're expressing to you. And for the boys, it's more like they're just being boys, so they could have a string of girlfriends or they could have these problems, but nothing ever really goes back to the parents. It's always...
True.
I don't say always, but it seems to be that way. And, you know, shouldn't some thought be given to the fact that advertising and movies and sex is all over the place, and maybe girls are just sexually active earlier because of that? And is there something so wrong with that, you know, as far as...
There's nothing wrong with any of it. If these people weren't calling up in pain, if we're good to have threesomes, we tell people to do it. It just...
Well, but I understand what Lori's point is, but to be fair to us, it's not... You know, if a woman calls up and says... Yeah, I like sex, and I've had a few partners. We don't give her a hard time.
We ask what the problem is.
It's usually, I mean, that's how it's always perceived, but it's usually if their behavior has taken a turn, or it's harming them, or they don't feel good about it,
right.
Or they're incredibly young, like 14 or 15, and they've had quite a few partners.
And I'm with you on that.
Yeah, whatever.
We don't, if a 22-year-old girl says, I'm calling, I'm in college, I've had a few boyfriends, a few partners, I like sex, what's wrong with me? We don't give her a hard time.
Okay.
Let's ask you this. See, what do you think makes a 15-year-old or 16-year-old male have a lot of sex?
Hormones.
But what is his motivation? Because women have hormones, too. But what's the man's motivation? What's he going for?
Bouncy.
The physical activity is what I would...
Men, the young males will say, because it feels good. Mm-hmm. That's it. Period. That's it.
Right.
You ask a young female that, and they will say, I want a relationship, I want intimacy. They'll mention 10 other things before they talk about the feel-good part.
Uh-huh.
And the guys, that is bewildering to them.
Right.
It's like, well, wait a minute, girls want it just the way guys do, don't they? That's what they says in the Cosmo. No, it's something you're selling them a bill of goods a little bit. Because there is a profound difference in how they experience this at that age. Now, men will settle down later when they're in their late 20s, early 30s, and the women actually come up to meet
them
a little bit.
When everything stops working, that's when they settle down.
And that's when women sort of come up and they become hypersexual a little bit sometimes.
Well, I had noticed it, and I thought that I would mention. I have three daughters. I'm a single parent, and I have three great kids that are very, very different, vastly different. They've never had a father figure in their life, really, and you know, they're great kids, and I teach them to take responsibility, and I try to teach them to make good decisions.
That's good.
And those are things that I teach them
to listen to their instincts. Teach them to listen to the things that they want are okay. There's nothing wrong with them if they don't want what boys want, if they don't want this is in Cosmo. Just listen to their instincts and teach them to negotiate to get those needs met.
Yeah, they'll be calling in a few years.
The other thing, Lori, is the thing we see with
humiliate me, they're listening.
Lori, the thing we see with young men is when they don't have a dad is uncontained aggression. The guys become very aggressive and they can't contain their aggressions.
Right.
And with women, they tend to go for males that are unavailable. That's the pattern.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, man. Good job with those girls.
She is doing a good job.
How many of them become strippers, Drew?
Two or three.
Okay.
Laura's 22.
I have a question about my boyfriend. Ever since he started a diet solution, you know, mail order, excuse me, he's been getting this small, hard almost like a little piece of a gummy bear mass in his
gummy spoon.
Semen. And I don't know if it's a reaction from the...
Let me ask you this. How long have you been sort of sifting through the semen?
Well, it's actually, he can feel it come out.
No, I understand he feels it. So he's been complaining about it.
Right. He's the one who brought it up.
So for all you know,
right.
For, this possible has been going on for a long time. He just maybe just recently noticed it.
Well, he would have noticed it, though, Drew. A guy keeps track of a guy's semen. I know where all mine is since the seventh grade.
Well, it's a common thing, Laura, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with his diet, and it's just one of them things.
Okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Okay, so should he still go to the doctor and get it checked
out? Yeah, sometimes it can be infections and stuff, but yeah, it won't hurt, but I doubt they'll find anything.
Well, what's he trying to do with this diet?
He was trying to lose weight, but when he actually got on it, and he actually gained weight, which doesn't make sense, but...
What kind of diet was it?
It's a liquid type diet, but you're supposed to take it right before you go to bed, and...
Oh, is this that stuff that I hear about on the radio?
Probably.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Body Solutions.
Body Solutions. This is a regular. I take it once a day. I've lost 60 pounds.
Well, what is that stuff? You listen, here's what they have to do, Drew. They find a fat guy at a radio station.
Right.
Which is almost, it's like trying to find a racist at a truck pull.
Right.
No problem.
Yeah.
They're trying to find a thin guy at a radio station.
Right.
Everyone's a bunch of fat asses. They're rolling up and down the halls. All they do is eat. And obviously, they don't do anything but flap their jaws for exercise.
Right. So
there's always a fat guy at a radio station.
Yes. It is uncannily strange how true that is, though.
The great thing about radio stations... Jesus.
This isn't a radio
station.
And it's... our peanut gallery is getting all pissed off. Hey, it's in the radio station. We need a radio, institution.
Uh-oh.
Okay, right.
A bunch of big guys just came in. Everyone's making fun of them. Holy Christ. All right, anyway, the point is it's not hard to find a fat guy at a radio station, right? You love a fat kid, don't you, Lardo? And the thing about the radios is, if a guy is fat at a radio station, his name is Fat Something. Fat Stew.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It works better for their advertising.
Or Cow Something. You know, attach an animal to it.
Right, right. His name is Manatee or something. They give him a big fat name. So he'll be Fat Somebody, and he's on a radio, and then they give him this stuff, and then he claims he loses weight, and he gets on the air and talks about how much weight he's lost.
Yeah.
And how he's getting laid now when they go out and give away prizes in the van.
Gummy spoon.
Okay, but the point is they say you eat whatever you want, and the only thing is you don't eat 3 or 4 hours before you go to bed, and you drink this liquid.
Huh.
Well, my feeling is this, as far as losing weight. And, Drew, you stop me if I'm wrong. When you kind of decide you're on a diet, you're automatically somewhat watching what you're eating.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. However, for people like me, and I suspect like you, that means you're eating more. Because you're thinking about it.
So it's now game on.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Same with masturbation, by the way. But that's a different diet. And if you don't eat...
One you never attempted, by the way.
If most people did not eat 4 hours before they went to bed, they'd probably lose a little bit of weight.
Yes. Well,
I mean, you think about the damage you do with those late-night snacks.
That's right.
So that's probably part of it. But I don't know what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to speed up your metabolism while you're asleep?
I honestly don't know.
Drew, can you speed up your metabolism without sort of... beaking you up?
No.
And if you're beaked up, how are you sleeping?
If you're beaked up, how good can it be for you? So.
Well, how good can you sleep if you take this before you go to bed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I don't know if that's how it works or not. Melissa's 29.
Hello.
Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Yeah, I just had a question. I have a hyperthyroid.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been losing weight. I mean, I don't get hungry.
How long have you been hyperthyroid?
I had my glands removed in, 95% in 1996.
Okay, so you're no longer hyperthyroid. Now you're taking thyroid medicine to replace not having a thyroid gland.
Yeah.
How much Synthroid or levothyroxine are you taking?
0.05.
0.05?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's a tiny dose. I mean, it's not tiny, but it's a small dose. So it's not as though that would be causing any problems now.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Why did they leave the 5%?
You know, I think they're trying to leave... First of all, they leave the parathyroid behind often, or they try to, and that's, that means leaving some thyroid behind. And I think they used to believe that they were going to try to leave enough behind to give them a normal thyroid function, which it never works out that way.
So meaning your thyroid is producing too much, so we'll just cut out 90% of it,
yeah,
and then you'll be down to normal, but
right,
it doesn't work.
Yeah, it never works that way. Cool. So unless there's some other reason you're not eating, and you sound kind of depressed for one thing.
Yeah, because... I can't eat, and then every time I eat, I mean, I want to throw it up. I can't.
Well, why don't you go get that looked into? That is unlikely to have anything to do with your thyroid.
Well,
what do you like to eat? What do you like to eat?
I eat pizza,
French fries, potatoes.
Mm. Yeah, but what's worrying me is that my weight keeps on dropping, because right now I'm 96, and then it goes up 102.
Mm. 96.
And then I
drop down, and then I... Lean
of
a sling blade. Hey, you want to hear my Billy Bob Thornton?
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Uh-huh.
Action.
I like French fried potatoes now. They're good. Drew, you knew that was coming, right?
No.
Okay.
Kind of got me.
Well, you knew that was coming. Well, you like pizza, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you eat some? You feel nauseous?
Yeah.
Right. What,
and I was wondering what's good to say. Maybe Ensure, is that...
Yeah, Ensure's fine. Ensure's good. But you need a balanced diet. You need to go... Freaking an explanation for why this is happening. Forget... Stop thinking that it has anything to do with your thyroid. That's very...
Maybe you're pregnant.
No.
Pregnant?
You smoke weed?
No.
You take aspirin?
That's your problem.
Aspirin or anti-inflammatories?
No, the only thing I take is Dolmane to sleep.
Yeah, that's what he's done there.
Because I can't sleep either.
Besides, it sounds like you're depressed.
Well, how's life going, Melissa?
Well, the way that I'm feeling, not that good, because I can't eat and my weight. And
physical. Emotionally, what's going on?
Put her on hold.
Yeah.
What is it with our callers where they're almost like, well, you know, I don't like to insult them, but they're like animals in the sense that they have no understanding or sense of what you're asking. It's like they call and go, can't eat because I throw up and the food doesn't taste good. And you go, what else is going on in your life?
Can't eat.
I don't eat and I throw up.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're upset, maybe a little depressed. How's life going?
Well,
it's not going good because
I feel...
I can't eat and then I throw up. It's like... Oh, really? Wait, do you think that's what we're asking for the fifth time? Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Get her back on the line. Melissa?
Huh?
You know the part about you throwing up and not eating?
Got that.
I understand. We got that part. Now, what about the other parts of life? Your work, boyfriend, family, that kind of stuff?
Well, everything's going good. I have a husband, and I have a happy life.
You sound immensely happy.
Yeah, you sound like you just won the lottery.
Yeah. Play that back for her. Just, I have a happy life. Just let her hear that back so she can understand what we're talking about. Here we go.
I just want a second opinion. That's all I
want. Liza, you're vomiting. You're not eating. We got all that. Anderson's going to find your I have a happy life and give it back to us. It's going to take him a minute. But, Melissa, okay, we're suggesting that maybe there's something wrong with your mood, that you're not feeling good. Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Then maybe you're depressed.
Well, I get tired a lot, like run down.
You throw up and you don't eat.
All right. Well, the tired run down could be part of
it. But then again, listen, we don't know what you got. That's the point.
Well, let me ask her some questions.
But the point I want to make is you need a thorough medical evaluation. You need a diagnosis. Somebody's
there you go.
What this is. Here's your happy life back. Nope. Go ahead.
You're golden, by the way, Drew.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you work?
No. Not right now, no.
Do you have kids?
Mm-hmm, 2.
How long ago was your last child?
How long ago did I have my last child?
Yes.
About 7 years ago.
Wow. Been a while. And your husband, what does he do?
He works in construction.
Uh-oh. That's cause for depression. How's he doing?
He builds houses.
I see. Okay, so he's doing good. He say builds.
He's in construction. Have you got that?
I understand. And the kids, they're doing okay in school?
Yeah, they're doing good,
Okay. And you're happy, I mean, other than the eating part,
yeah,
you're fulfilled?
I have a happy life.
Okay, let's see. Okay. Was that it? Was that it? Let's play it again.
I have a happy life.
Yeah. All right. Well,
off to the doctor and get yourself checked out, baby.
If not your thyroid, forget that. At least highly unlikely to be a thyroid. That's an easy thing to rule out just with a blood test.
And take care of yourself.
All right, when we come back.
Top of the world.
Have a happy life.
Oh, boy. We're going to talk to Tanya, who was actually on hold from last night. She got hit in the head and became deaf as a result, or had some hearing loss.
All right. Yeah, well, that's good times. Good times.
Yeah.
So we'll take a... Yeah.
How are things in Vegas? Do you have fun?
I got off the plane this morning, and I went to work, and I've just been kind of working ever since.
Where are you staying?
I haven't really done anything.
You're staying... You're my millionaire friend. Are you staying at the Four Seasons?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's right.
That's rough in your life.
You know, it's the only place I can stay now, Drew, unless, of course, there's a Five Seasons that I'm not aware of. Is there such a thing?
I'm sure you'll find something ultra-exclusive.
Perhaps if there's a Five Season, a place where I can be pampered just a little bit more.
I'll stay there.
Yeah, I'm going to have the bed turned down tonight, you know, because it's difficult to lift the comforter myself. Have the towel warmer fired up when I get back. Of course, I have the deluxe suite. And have the chocolates on the pillow. Have that to look forward to. And, Drew, what kind of message is that? Here's some chocolate before you go to bed, Lardo. I mean, whether you're talking about tooth decay or weight, is it a great idea to put chocolate in your mouth?
Here's what it is. You're so rich and powerful, monsieur. It doesn't matter. Enjoy.
True. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Drew?
Yeah, Adam, I celebrate when you're not here by reading the dictionary when I'm alone in the studio here. I found a great word to describe what's likely to happen to you tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's called crapulous. Yeah. You know that word?
No, but it sounds good.
Great word. Marked by intemperance, especially in eating or drinking.
What's intemperance mean?
Excessive. Going too far.
Yeah. Crapulent.
Crapulous.
Crapulous.
Yeah.
But could one be crapulent?
It's not in the dictionary, but that seems to me it should be able to be crapulent. Sick from excessive indulgence in liquor is definition number two.
Crapulous. All right. That's crapulous?
Crapulous. Good times.
Yeah. All right. That's going to be me tonight, everybody.
Fabulous.
I'm in Las Vegas. Drew's over there in boring old L.A. And speaking of crapulous, I just made the world's crappiest cup of coffee.
Oh, good. Well,
yeah.
It's a radio station makes back. This is Tanya. Tanya's 18. Tanya has a hearing problem. Tanya, can you hear me? Oh, no.
She hung up?
I don't know, guys. Hey. Yeah, see where she is. National going.
Drew, this show sounds totally different when you're down in
there. Try this. Tanya? There she is. All right.
Sorry about that. Okay. On Friday, I got a concussion. And when I was at the hospital, I noticed that the right side of my hearing was a little fuzzy. And
Were you hit on the right side of the head?
Yeah, but the thing is, I don't get it because I got a concussion. I fell on my bike.
Mm-hmm.
But I was making a left-handed U-turn. I got all the scrapes on the right side of my body. Wouldn't I get them on the left side?
Well, you could have gone over the back side.
Yeah, something threw you. The acceleration is going out if you're turning left. When you fly off your bike, you'll fly to the right.
Really?
You don't have to fold in. The acceleration is...
Hold on, Einstein. You could do two things when you make a turn. You could either dump it and sort of lay it down and go down on the side that you're turning, or you could go over the top and go over the back side. It sort of depends on what happened.
Did you tell them you couldn't hear or having trouble hearing?
I told him, and he was just, because they were, like, really busy.
I suggest to see a ear, nose, and throat doctor. Sometimes you can even dislocate the little ossicles in there that vibrate from your eardrum.
Okay.
And there's things that can happen. You can also get disruptions in the nerve and blood clots in that area. I mean, it's something worth looking into, all right?
Well, what happened? Why'd you crash?
I have no idea. I don't know what happened.
Wait, did someone hit you?
I have no idea. Like, I woke up and my bike was on one side of the street, and the neighbor found me and she said I was on the other side of the street.
Wow, somebody hit you.
I do not remember a thing what happened.
Wow.
And you got to wear a helmet.
Yeah. That's what my dad was telling me.
Oh, my gosh, you weren't wearing a helmet. How lucky you are.
Yeah.
The other thing that you're going to experience, which people do not make enough of, that after you've had a concussion really means a head whack with any alteration of your thought process or memory, any sensorium change, you're going to have weird feelings for quite some time. You're going to get depressed. You can have memory problems. You can be irritable. You can have sleep disturbance. You know,
I've had 100 of those.
The reason I'm bringing it up, well, that remains to be seen. The reason I'm bringing it up is that, you know, we live in a culture where, you know, in the Three Stooges world, people are getting hit over the head all the time, or in cartoons, you know, and then they go, you know, birds fly around their head, and then they go about their business. Head injuries, even sometimes relatively mild ones, can really cause a lot of disruption and symptoms. It's extraordinary how much it can hurt people.
Yeah.
Well, among the,
you know. I've been unable to concentrate on certain stuff that I have to do.
There you go. And you may have sleep problems and pain and all that sort of stuff.
No,
I'm not trying to freak out. I'm not. It's just to be prepared for it, and it can be treated if you have a lot of problems, and take care of yourself. It will get better.
So,
Drew.
What?
Yeah, that's enough of Tanya.
All right.
She's fine.
Yeah.
That was Tanya the chick?
Well, I don't really Tanya boys, do you?
No. Not until now.
Sounded a little interesting, but Lisa's 26.
Well, look, here's what I want to say, Drew. Mm-hmm. If you were wearing a helmet while riding your bicycle at age 14, how much fun would they have made of you?
Oh, are you kidding? It'd be impossible.
They would have thought you were retarded.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Like, it was unthinkable. Like, maybe on a motorcycle. Maybe.
Maybe.
All right.
Thank God. I was watching that 80s show tonight, and they had a little thing where a guy was talking on a cell phone and making such a big deal out of it. I can remember having a cell phone and being embarrassed if people saw me talking on it. Like in public, you're trying to carry a conversation, and I felt like I was talking to myself, and people would think I was crazy.
What year was this?
Probably 86.
Was it one of those big beige bricks?
Yes.
They couldn't even make it black. we didn't have the technology to color plastic in 1986.
It had to be some bizarre.
It had to look like a prosthetic device growing out of your head. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, I remember. They weighed about 40 pounds.
What was that? Was that one company that made that?
I guess. I actually didn't have that one. I have one that you had to carry over your shoulder. And
wow! How much did that thing cost?
A couple hundred bucks. It wasn't hugely expensive, but the airtime was.
The minutes were, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Oh, you'd freak out if someone called.
Yeah.
Oh, Drew, you must have freaked. All right. Lisa?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay. I've been married for almost 7 years now, and in November I found out that my husband was calling somebody else on the cell phone.
For what? Ooh.
Well, I don't know. He told her he was not married. I know that much.
How do you know that much?
He told me.
Why did he tell you that?
Because he got caught calling her.
So you...
How do you... here's what I don't understand. How did you catch him?
I asked him for a cell phone one day.
And?
And he threw a big fit and wouldn't give it to me, and then finally told me why.
What? What, because she would call him on it or something?
Yeah, she would call him, and he would call her while he was at work.
So he didn't want to have you to have the phone that she might call you?
Yeah.
Okay. Feel free to explain these things, by the way. And, geez, you couldn't have just given me the phone and then got on the horn and told her not to call?
Right.
Well, her number was on the phone.
Yeah, on the speed dial there?
Yeah, but you might have thought it was a business associate or something, right?
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah. And so he told you, then he went so far as to tell you she doesn't know he's married?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he give that up?
Well, the way he told me, that he said that he had been talking to somebody else. I'm sorry.
Lisa, do you understand why that's confusing to us?
Yeah. Okay.
So you can feel free to
explain. I'm going to go take a crap.
Yeah.
You all right?
Don't get crapulous.
What happened was, like a few days before, or 2 days before Thanksgiving, he told me he did not want to be married.
Okay. So, what did you do to that? Are you guys getting divorced? Are you separated?
No, we have two kids.
So he's going to stay together for the kids?
Well, no.
Oh, Lisa.
I don't know.
Well, stop making us...
Yeah.
Well, all right,
we get
so
that.
Are we.
We get that.
All right, so he gave you the phone. You wanted to borrow the phone. He said, no, you can't have the phone. Then you wanted to know what was up, and then he said, okay, here's the phone, but you should know that I've been talking to a woman, and I told her I wasn't married.
Right.
It sounds like he's trying to push Lisa away. So that starts to make sense now. He's already declared he wants out.
In fact, this is how it went down.
Yeah, right.
We'll never know,
right.
Drew.
Know.
Even though Lisa's on the other line, we'll have no way of knowing if that's the way it ever went down.
Nor do I think should we try to go any further with it.
Okay.
Except to ask Lisa what her question is.
Okay. Now he tells me he wants to be with me.
But Lisa, what's your question?
I don't know. What is it that guys want? Why do they do this?
Well, you don't know. Was he having an affair, do you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, this is not... I don't think there's any generalization about men that can be made that will help you in this situation.
But you're saying, why do men do this, and we're not totally sure what this is.
Yeah.
He gets off work late, but then there were calls made that he made to her, like... 2 or 3 hours after he was supposed to be home.
So what did he say to you? That he was still at work?
He would tell me that he had to work late on nights, or some nights he would go out and wait for her to call.
Right, he has a girlfriend.
He told you he would go out and wait for her to call?
Yes.
All right, so he's saying, I went out.
But then now he's deciding he wants back. Lisa, nothing general about this applies to all men. There's something up with your husband. He's got some serious stuff going on here. It doesn't sound good, but someone needs to slog through it. And you sound confused. So the only way this is, and you sound as though you're completely lost in terms of how you'd respond to this. This is a time when people go in for professional counseling, if for no other reason. Well, wait, they have two kids. So at least on behalf of the kids, to make a crack at this.
Do you think she's going to do that?
I don't know.
Hey, is she still there?
Yeah.
What time does he get off work?
Around 3.
Do you want to call him?
and was he coming home at like 7 in the morning?
Well, see, I'm always in bed when he
comes. Adam, you know better than that.
You're right. I shouldn't ask any more questions.
Yes.
My fault, Lisa. I'm sorry. You don't know when he comes home.
I'm always in bed because I have to get my little girl up for school.
I see. Okay. You don't wake up and notice what time he comes in, huh?
No.
You wouldn't know the difference between 3:30 and 7:30 in the morning.
Well, between 3:30 and 6:30.
All right. You're just a sound sleeper.
Adam, it's unfathomable to you.
See, well, I don't know. If I was in bed and someone crawled into it, I'd have an idea if it was 2 or 3 hours later than they normally get there.
I would not, but I'm not like you where I know what time the neighbors crawl into bed, for Christ's sake.
You wouldn't?
No.
Listen, hold on. God forbid your old lady works, Drew, but if she did, and she came home, and you knew she got off at 3 every night and got in bed at 3:30, you don't think by 6 a.m. you'd feel around the bed and notice she wasn't around?
Not in those kinds of hours.
You wouldn't.
If she was supposed to be home at 11 and it wasn't there till 4, I'd know it. That's a deep sleeping time, middle of the night. You know, no.
All right, well, I assume this guy's cheating, and I don't think he's the world's greatest guy. And plus, who the hell wants a guy who's getting off work at 3 a.m.?
Right.
I mean, how good can his life be going?
But look, on behalf of these kids, and this poor woman, I mean, Lisa sounds like she's hurting, she's lost.
Yes, very confused.
You need professional help with this. On behalf of your kids, please get someone to help you guys with this.
I have a happy life.
Yeah. This has been the theme of the night.
Geez, Drew, I know I say this once every other show, but how do people make it to the adult age and just seem to have no idea what goes on the planet or how people behave or where they are? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about being a psych major or writing books on human behavior. I just mean that sort of general, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why would he do this? Why do you think he'd say that?
No.
I don't know.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, I understand that at 11, but how do you get it, you know, into your 30s?
Well,
what is that? You know what that is?
It's the American.
You don't know either, do you, son of a bitch?
No, I just think that's what's happened in this country, is that people aren't being educated. They're not being taught to prioritize and think about
things. What's education have to do with that?
Well, some of it's that, right? Some of it's the ability to think carefully and analytically. Think through.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying. I never had any education. I never hung out with anyone who had any education because, we consider them geeks, Drew.
Yeah.
But they sort of know what's going on. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean you meet people all the time with zero education, but they're aware of where they are.
I just think
I'm sort of alarmed at the part where people aren't sure where they are.
I mean, like, they can't even describe what's happening to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And they don't know. And if you say, like, you bring up questions like, well, why would the guy just tell you outright that he wasn't interested, or he told this other girl he was not married? Why do you think he would say that?
I don't know.
Isn't that strange? I mean,
it requires abstraction. I don't think people are doing that. They don't.
Well, whose fault is it, Drew? That's what
it's yours, goddammit.
Is it like too much TV or what?
TV, yeah. It's just, and then you add to that difficulty separating. Their whole sense of self is incomplete because of the crappy parenting. What would it be like if we were talking to a bunch of Scottish mountain men? You know,
I think they would know what we were talking about. But they'd be confused about the whole cell phone aspect of the question, I imagine.
That's probably true.
They probably still use those huge beige ones that you had. Even scarier, the flesh color.
Yeah.
And if there's any manufacturers who are within the sound of my voice, don't make stuff flesh color unless it's a fake arm.
Right.
It's disarming when people see that. It makes you feel weird when you see flesh-colored stuff.
I just remember what it was I wanted to bring to your attention from the 60s and 70s.
Wait a minute.
Let me do it.
We're going to break.
All right, when we get back.
All right. Right after this.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yes, sir. I've got some history to bring to bear here. And by the way, it's National Compliment Week. Everyone's being very kind to one another here, giving each other compliments. And actually, National Compliment Day. So, Adam,
it is?
You're doing a very nice job broadcasting tonight.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Holiday sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be a pretty rough one for you, I imagine. But listen.
Is it really? I didn't hear about this.
Well, let me tell you my thing about the 60s and 70s I want to bring back. And it's apropos to the phone history we're talking about. In the 60s, and people will, no way anybody under like 35 is going to remember this, phone numbers were not, first of all, there was no area code, right? Everyone you knew was in the same area code. It was all
right.
One area code. I mean, if you called another area code, you were calling another state usually, and then it was expensive. So all phone numbers were seven numbers. The first two numbers were given out as letters, which were designated by a word. Remember that? Sycamore, 9-9575. Murray 3-1475. Remember that?
Yes, my cousins were ex-Brooks.
How bizarre is that?
I never knew what my dad was talking about when he said that.
And adults seem to sort of languish in that, too. It's like, it's Sycamore 9-8475.
Right.
But they enjoyed that word. Somehow it added importance to the phone number.
Yeah, it made everyone seem like a secret agent.
Right.
What did Sycamore mean, though?
S-Y. So it would be whatever. You have to look at the letters. You know, the letters that are on the phone? You ever wonder why those letters are there? That's why they were there.
But they still use them.
Now to make up words and things. But then it was the first two numbers were designated by letters.
But wasn't it? Oh, it was the first two.
Yeah, it was Sycamore. It was S-Y. Murray was M-U.
Yeah, but my
Sycamore cousins, was 7-9. I remember that.
My cousin's was X-Brook 6. So it would be the first, it would be E-X and then 6, right? Whatever the E-X were.
Yeah, but E-X 6, right.
Jesus, they sure put a long name on there for two goddamn numbers.
And who came up with those names? That was always my question back then. I was like, what? Who's Murray? Why Murray? Sycamore, where the hell else in your life are you using the word Sycamore?
All right. Well, Drew, that's a good point.
Good one, huh?
You're going crazier than me, by the way.
Well, that's weird, huh?
Let's take some calls, buddy. What is
it? It's Bill, 49. Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
What's going on now?
Hey, how's it going? my question is, I'm 29 years old, and my girlfriend basically was, sounds like she was raped. You know, I haven't talked to her in detail, but when she was about 18 years old.
Sounds like she was raped.
Well, she says she was raped. You know, I'm not clear if she was sexually, like, full-on sexually raped or if she was attacked. And my understanding is that she was sexually assaulted. You know what I mean?
You know that it was a sexual assault. You don't know if it was actually a rape.
Exactly.
All right, fine.
Okay. Since that time, we've been going out now for 6 months. And, you know, we have sex, but she never really gets into it. And, you know, we're both thinking about, you know, possibly staying together. And it's obviously a very important aspect of our relationship. And it's something that we want to try to figure out. And I'm just trying to wonder.
Well, one of the things we find frequently, Bill, is women that are raped in their teen years often have some other kind of victimization earlier. Not only because that makes them good targets for these a-holes that perpetrate this crap.
Right.
And
right.
So you might think somebody that had some sexual issues maybe had something even earlier go on and that she maybe focused on the rape. Now, if indeed she was otherwise perfectly pristine and healthy and the rape just set her off her balance beam, then she needs some treatment. The treatment would be very successful. And the best kind of treatment for that kind of thing tends to be a women's support group where she can just finally talk about her feelings about this rape. And people get better very quickly with that.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even if the incident didn't was isolated and she needs some help, I worded that incorrectly. Sorry. What I'm saying is even if it wasn't isolated, she still needs some help.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be sexual abuse in the past that set her up for this.
No.
She could just have an a-hole dad that was, you know,
victimizing.
Right, but she's actually, I do believe that she's from, that this was the first incident. I know since this first time that she was either raped or sexually assaulted, a second thing happened, another, like, a couple of years later.
Bill, no. Repeated episodes, there's even more evidence that something's going on.
Of something in the past.
Yeah.
I've met her parents. I'd be amazed. I'd be surprised.
We're not saying they're the perpetrators.
No, but also, I think we're getting Bill confused here, Drew, and you're doing a good job of it, which is it doesn't necessarily mean that she was molested by her dad or her uncle.
No.
Or by anybody sexually when she was 6 years old.
Right.
It could just mean that she grew up in an environment that wasn't real good and nurturing, and she became open to be victimized later on in life.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean there's wholesale abuse there. But you know what? You're just going to have to tell her, look, if she doesn't want to talk about it, that's fine, but she's going to have to seek some help because you guys, you're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, and
well, she's open to that. It was just, you know, the question is sort of what would be the next step, and let's get to hear that, like, the woman's support group is where to go with that.
Well, make sure, though, it's someone who also does individual therapy, because I'm suspicious here she's going to need that as well.
Well, she's been to the therapist, and she was for going for some time, but she moved and she broke off her professional relationship.
When was she going? After the rape?
No, over the course of the last 5 years. I don't know if it started immediately after the rape or if it, you know, was...
And why was she going?
For, you know, just... your problems.
Bill, I don't think... you need a more realistic assessment of who your partner is here. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't love her or that the marriage couldn't be very successful, but you don't seem to have a real grasp on who you're dealing with.
Well, Drew, what are you going to the shrink for? Yeah, there you go, wise ass.
I got problems.
You don't know. You don't even know, for Christ's sake. You think your wife knows?
No, I think the fact that she has gone for it is a great sign. Frankly.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think Bill seems very vague about who she is.
Well,
I don't want him to be 3 years of marriage and realize that somebody's going to need some more work and he's going to be angry with her for, you know, just doing her work.
But that's why he's calling. He's only been with her for 6 months. He's trying to move in that direction.
Yeah, get her back in the relationship with the therapist. She needs to reestablish with somebody.
That's right. No.
And
no.
You should go.
Hey, Drew,
you got
a goddamn clock there?
Hey. We got to go to break. I was going to let it run until now. And so, I was going to go to another call.
Well, he had another question you're going to let him do, you idiot.
All right, we're going to break.
That's enough.
All right, we're going to break.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. And Drew?
This one's going to be very interesting. This is Diane. She is 40.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Adam and Carolla. Drew and Carolla. I'm so excited. I'm getting all excited. I'm Diane.
Hi, Diane.
And I'm 40. First of all, I wanted to compliment your screener, Damien. He's a good screener. But whatever.
Really? How many other screeners have you spoken to?
Well, we got a guy named Tic Tac here in Tucson, Arizona. He's an excellent screener.
Yeah. Who's better, Tic Tac or Damien?
Damien.
Ooh.
Nice.
All right. Well,
he asked me a lot of questions.
We were going to fly Tic Tac out and have him replace Damien, but forget that.
Yeah, but he's real hot. He's good looking. I have a
Tic Tac is.
Yeah, he's real
hot. Yeah. Damien's.
He's totally hot.
Damien's no prize.
And I know a friend of yours, Ted Stryker. He's the one.
Oh,
Stryker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, it's 40 or 14?
Pardon?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Anyway, you guys got to get some stupid calls, like the guy that had a problem with his penis. That was such a waste. And then the guy calls in and his girl didn't get the birth control. Oh, he's, you know, she missed the couple of days. You know, that's problems we don't need to hear about. They should take it to family planning.
That's right.
Well, here's your chance, Diane. What should we talk about?
Wait a minute. Diane makes a valid point. We don't need kids.
I'm glad that you called somebody a bitch the other night. She was a stupid bitch.
Yeah. Would you put her on hold for a second, Drew? Diane brings up a very valid point.
Being
a
bitch. What's that?
We don't need to waste our time with these young kids and their calls about their pregnancies and penis problems and birth control and whatnot. We got Diane critiquing phone screeners.
No, not critiquing. Describing their level of attraction. They're hot.
I would say the critique was part of it.
Yeah, sure. You're right. There was a critique there.
Thank you. Now, go ahead, Diane.
You could say I'm an expert at radio because I'm a big radio head. All the DJs know that I call them and I ask for songs. And, and I'm crazy.
Shocking.
But anyway, I was in love with a guy named Cooper, but he's not there anymore at my other station. But I listen to Cafe May all the time.
Diane?
I'm sorry.
Let me just say something. Don't take any offense to this, but you're a crazy person. You live in your own crazy world, and you can't expect us to be interested in that, can you?
No, but I have to ask you a question about my sex life.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It's cut to the chase. Okay. I'm 40, you know that. And I have a really high sex drive, totally high. I was having sex with my ex-boyfriend 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he's good. He's excellent. Mm-hmm. But we've been getting it years, and I didn't expect it to keep getting better. But I just broke up with him recently for I'm not going to go back with him. But I don't want to do recreational sex, doctor. And I practice safe sex. I believe women should carry condoms.
Okay, Diane, hold on a second. Adam?
Uh-huh.
It's incomprehensible.
I know what she's talking about.
What's she saying?
Well, she started off talking about NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah.
And she was weighing the checks and balances on that, how it's impacted negatively and positively the North American culture as well as the Latino culture south of the border.
Something about infant mortality after that?
I think she got into that. Yeah. She was just beginning to get into plate tectonics, I believe.
All right,
excuse me.
She's a sexual person.
You.
Okay. Diane?
All right, so she has sex.
And you don't want
to. And she doesn't want recreational sex.
No, I've always been a monogamous person.
Yeah, but you have a boyfriend that you're having sex with three times a day.
I broke up with him. Because he's an adoptee. And that's got a whole, you know, that's a whole... That's too much to get into. And it's not, you know, my... That's his privacy. I can't really step into that. This is about me.
What is your point in a sentence?
Well, I don't believe that there's a man right now that's worth me sleeping with.
Okay, then don't.
Okay.
All right.
A lot of guys just sighed a huge sigh of relief, Drew.
They want me, but they don't accept my mind. You know, I have a great mind, and they don't accept that. And if I get into a relationship, then they try to take away my DJs, and you call them too much, and blah, blah, and all that. And I don't want my guys.
Well, they have a point there.
All right. Don't do it then. You find a guy who likes you.
If I'm happy.
And your radio career, too. They need to be able to relate to that.
I want them to set my mind and to respect my mind.
Okay. We want to respect you as a total person.
Pardon?
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful man.
I don't want to be giving myself away like that.
No, I should think you wouldn't.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask, what do you do? Do you have a job?
Yes, I do.
What could you possibly do for a living?
I'm a telephone professional.
Ooh, what does that mean?
Really?
Sales?
No, I don't do sales. I've done sales.
Sex phone?
I do interviews. I mean surveys. I'm sorry, demographics.
Demographics.
Oh, you call people while they're eating and ask them if they're watching Dharma and Greg?
I call them and I have impeccable manners and they speak to me and I get people to talk to me.
I would bet it's morbid curiosity more than the impeccable manners that keeps them on the phone. Do you have any kids?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
I am.
That's good.
Good
girl. All right, baby.
All right.
Okay.
Well, consider us. Put us on your speed dial.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I listen to you every night.
Oh, good.
Thank you, baby.
Just call anytime.
Okay, love and peace.
Okay, you can talk
love
to
Damon. Love you, baby.
Damon will know your voice immediately, and we'll take your calls.
There you go.
Okay.
It's a very, very valid point, a question to bring up.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew.
Yeah.
I know I ask this a lot, but she holds a job down. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people we speak to.
Yeah.
Could you ever imagine employing them? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Are you sometimes curious how people go to work, get a paycheck, buy groceries, pay the utilities, pay the landlord? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that seem nearly impossible for a lot of the people that call the show?
Yeah.
But yet they do it. I like that.
Emily's 22. Emily.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to say for all these really silly questions you keep getting bombarded with, but mine is just as silly, but I've been wanting to ask it for quite a long time.
All right. That's your chance.
I moved to a new town from a very small town, and my problem is that where I used to have a great deal of boyfriends, in the smaller town, now I'm having a hard time meeting people in general, no matter what.
What kind of town is this?
I moved to a college town, actually.
And that makes it, I would think it would be easier to meet guys in a college town.
This is what I thought, too, but I'm having a great deal of problems.
Where are you in Eugene?
Yes.
And you're not going to the college?
Actually, I am. Well, I'm going to the community college.
Good times. Wow. You can dial the phone and everything. I'm surprised. And what about, you're thinking about transferring into the major university there?
Yes, later.
The one with the football team?
Yes.
Right.
The one with the football team.
And you go to college and you work, too?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I'm a CNA.
He's a nursing assistant.
Oh,
your grandmother.
That's bad.
Not Anne's grandmother.
No, but that's bad times. So you're not going to meet anyone at work. What about at school?
At school? Well, unfortunately, it hasn't seemed to be working quite too well.
When are you going to transfer?
When did I transfer?
When are you going to transfer?
When do I go to transfer?
When do you transfer to Oregon, University of Oregon?
When do I?
When do you transfer?
You know what was funny?
Yeah.
You know what was funny? She was like, she's a CAA, right?
Yeah.
And seems to have her stuff together, working, lucid, you know, going to junior college and all that.
Uh-huh.
So when you first said, when are you going to transfer to the University of Oregon? My mind went, 6 months, she'll be there.
Yeah.
And then the second time you asked it, I had to push back to a year. And by the time you got to the fifth time, I was like, I don't think she's going to make it.
Oh, man. Emily.
Yes.
When is your plan to transfer?
My plan to transfer is in about 6 months.
6 months.
Yes.
Well, that's where I started.
Yeah. Can you just bear down and make sure you get the grades and make that transfer and then have a social life? And focus and just live your life as a college student and have a social life.
Yes, I realize this. But my other issue is that right now I feel like very confident mentally. I feel very stable. And this is the first time that I felt this way, and now I can't seem to meet guys.
Well, where are you going? I mean, you're working.
Emily, if you're suggesting because you don't feel confident, guys aren't coming around, guys love that. The more wounded you are, the more likely they are to swarm.
Yeah. Yeah, if you pretended like you're retarded and had a broken leg and you're flailing out in the street like a bird that fell out of its nest, that's when you're going to score. This dynamic, confident BS is not going to work for guys.
So listen,
okay,
you're just not meeting guys.
Let me just ask you a couple of quick questions.
Mm-hmm.
What about junior college? How about some of them pot-smoking, hacky-sack-playing degenerates you go to school with? And I can only imagine what they're like in Oregon.
They make me nauseous, but keep going.
You don't want to date any of those losers?
No, actually.
Okay. And then socially, what do you do? Do you have anything you participate in, any clubs you go to?
Oh, no. I like art a lot. So I like to draw. I like to go to art galleries. I like to go to clubs.
You're going to clubs. You know what you need? You need... Would you stop that, please? God damn it. I mean, nuts.
It's not me.
I know. It's her. Do you have any girlfriends?
I beg your pardon? Girlfriends?
Do you have girlfriends?
Okay. We're not talking the lesbian kind. I hope.
No.
You have girlfriends.
Yeah, I have friends.
Okay. Okay. Okay, get rid of her, would you? Hey, Drew?
Yeah.
Is it just me who's on edge?
Yes.
And maybe that's it. But here's what I'm saying.
What I like is when you're on edge and not here, then I can actually can rest my hands on the table and put my cup down without you freaking out. It's nice.
What's with the pulling teeth all the time? It's like, do you have girlfriends?
Yeah.
Girlfriends? Do you have girlfriends? If you're asking me if I'm a lesbian.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, do you have girlfriends? I have friends. Just say yes or no. If you have girlfriends, go out with your girlfriends. They must know some guys. Maybe some of them go to the major university over there. Some of them have boyfriends who have single friends. A little networking.
But no, well,
don't be so tight. She's 22.
What's so difficult about spending 6 months, and we're only talking about 6 months here, grinding it out of school, making sure you get those grades, make that transfer happen, and then you enter a new community where you have a social life. I mean, think how guys have to do this all the time. Guys spend 6 years getting their ass together so they're in a position to start meeting people. You know?
Yeah. But I get the vibe from Emily that she's a little angry or uptight or controlled, or she's kind of living up in her head a little bit, or she's too old for 22.
Well, a lot of it's entitlement.
Well, just have a shot and relax.
Julie,
thank you.
Julie, good talk.
Hi.
Hi, Julie.
Okay, my question is, an incident happened with a guy, and I'm trying to determine if it was rape, so I'll just give you the rundown. Met a guy through mutual friends, had a good time, whatnot, had some drinks, ended up going back to his place, and we hooked up. I'm fine with it, didn't have a problem with that.
What does that mean, hooked up?
We slept together.
Okay, you had sex with the guy.
Right. Had sex. That night. That was fine. Stayed the night there because I was in no condition to drive home. Next morning, I'm just kind of in the mood to, go home, get on with my day or whatnot. He wants to have sex. I say no. He proceeds anyway, not really caring about what I'm saying. I said no, and I got really upset, emotional, and started crying, and I continually said no, but he wasn't really listening to that. Like, he just sort of did his own thing. So I don't know if I'm overreacting, if it really was rape the next morning, or if I should just chill out and be like, hey, you know what? You hooked up with him the night before, so you should, you know, expect that that's going to happen the next day.
Well, this is, this is an interesting one, because you never really heard it this way.
Yeah,
listen,
wow.
If you said no repeatedly and kept going, then that's rape. But the, my one of my questions is, why do you think you got so emotional so fast? I mean, you did sleep, have sex with a guy the night before, and you slept in bed with him.
Was he just being ill? Was he aggressive?
He wanted a second helping. What did that... Why did that come out in you?
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, I'm not... That's why I'm trying to figure out, am I overreacting? I think one of the things was that when I was saying no and I did start crying, I really felt like he was sort of detached. I don't know. Like, just the look on his face, I felt like he was detached from the situation or something. Like, it didn't really matter who was there. Like,
Julie, clearly that's what was happening, because I mean, he's got a person in front of him who's freaking out, and he goes right on his business.
Why did you start crying so fast, though?
I honestly don't know. I've never been in a situation like that. If I was not comfortable with what was happening physically between me and someone else, they, you know, were perfectly fine to stop right there.
Why didn't you just get up and get dressed and get out of there?
I started to, but he basically, like, got on top of me, and I couldn't push him off.
Listen, Adam, I this is just a... Here's, I think, the reality. The reality is this was a serious rape, as far as I'm concerned. The problem is, though, Julia's got her head completely screwed on, and I'm not sure she wants to go through the headache of dealing with this. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That is a rape, man.
Why does Julie having her head screwed on have to do with her
because
not wanting to go through
I don't think
with
it's
this.
Affected her all that badly, and I think it's going to be difficult for her to prove anything.
Well, I'm curious about... I have a couple more questions. Julie, what if that morning he'd said, hey, sunshine, let me make you a cup of coffee before you hit the road. You think you would have been interested in him, you know, down the road, future dates kind of stuff?
I mean, sure. We had a really good time that night. I felt like we, you know, we got along really well. And, I mean, I'm not the type to, you know, just if I end up hooking up with someone or having sex, I'm not the type of girl to automatically be like, oh, my God, we're going to start dating. He's my boyfriend now. Because, you know, people drink. They, you know, end up fooling around or whatever. It's a good time. You chalk it up to that. That's what happens. If, you know, two adults making adult decisions. It's very possible I may have wanted to continue seeing him or even progress into a relationship.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I know I use poor judgment by, you know, sleeping with someone before I really knew them. I totally take responsibility for that.
Hmm. Well, listen, I think what this guy did, if it's as you said, it is definitely rape.
Definitely rape.
I'm looking at a mother and her young infant child through the window right as the word rape came out of my mouth. Nice. And waving to her. Hope she doesn't read lips. the only part, the only vibe I get, or the only thing that's strange to me was the part about you getting emotional and crying. I'm taking it to be very early on, as you said, no. To him.
Yeah, I didn't want to have sex the next morning. I just...
But did you say you burst out in tears right away?
Not right. I mean, at first, partly what was going through my mind was, I thought, this can't be happening. Like, I said, no, this isn't really happening. Like, I really thought that. And then when I realized that he just wasn't listening and didn't really care that I didn't want to participate, it was like, oh, my God, there's nothing I can do to stop this. So,
right. Well, this is rape.
That's
and
that's awful.
And you should do something about it.
Yeah, are you up for that?
As far as like taking
reporting
charges?
Yeah.
No,
I didn't think she was.
I mean, the whole thing is, it's like, part of me wants to report him because I would hate for this to happen to another
person. Right. That would be the reason to do it.
I know, but at the same time, I talked to a friend who is a policeman, and he said, to be honest with you,
you're
going to be pretty traumatic because if you decide to report him, you're going to have to go to court, and you're going to have to go through the whole ordeal. I mean, I went and I took a morning after pill. I'm on birth control pills, but I'm, like, so paranoid. I was like, just my luck, this will be the one time the pill doesn't work. I went and took the morning after pill because the last thing I wanted was to be pregnant by him. I could just be level-headed, so I thought, am I just overreacting?
No.
This was right.
I mean, what an awful, vulnerable, powerless position to be in. I would think you'd have a little bit of a post-traumatic stress reaction from that, too. And that's an awful position for somebody to be in.
I would hope you
find a way to sort of get this guy under surveillance, or, you know what I mean? Even if this wasn't rape, think what a colossal asshole this guy is.
Either press charges or you don't put him under surveillance.
Yeah, but maybe I don't know.
I'm 24. I'm a college student. You know, I'm waitressing right now. He's 30 years old. He's a business person. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's going to be his word against mine.
Yeah.
There's just so many people out there who are trying to just work men over or whatever.
That was sort of my take on you. It's not going to be important to you psychologically to do it because you haven't been. This is like a recurrent trauma for you that you're going to turn the tables on finally. You're okay. You're whole. You're in one piece. And the real traumatic part might be the reporting and going through all the hell of doing that. So there you go. And you're sort of
Is she still there? Hey, Julie?
Yeah.
Here, let me ask a few of our regular questions. You got anything we need to know about?
No, I mean, for the most part, like I said, I'm level-headed. I know all that stuff.
But was everything good in the past? Did anything happen before when you were younger or anything like that?
No, I'm probably one of your more quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, I get help from Julie. I really do.
I just wanted to sort of get an answer from somebody, and I figure, you know,
it's definitely rape.
Yeah, I think people are.
Anytime a woman says no and the guy keeps going, unless you know that guy's me, it's rape.
And this isn't even this is her lying there crying. I mean, what kind of a just sort of inhuman, you know?
Yeah, I know.
It's just awful.
All right, is she gone, Drew?
Julie, we're saying goodbye,
all right? All right, thanks, guys.
Take care of yourself.
Hope you handle this. What?
Yeah, Drew, you didn't want to poke around a little there?
No, I didn't get a single vibe. Not even close to an instinct on that.
Well, maybe I'm just a pig, but, you know, I always think, like, and again, I'm not gonna win any fans with this, but, you know, couldn't she have bit him? Do you know what I'm saying? Is there's a part where you're paralyzed or you're angry or... You know, I always say when someone is raped, like, how does it actually work? How does he get in?
Yeah.
If she's, like, kind of shoving? I mean, I can barely get in when the chick, you know, when I paid her.
That's just because...
To hold still.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this is a point where you just sort of pop up and run out of the room?
Yeah.
Or does he block the door?
Well, she said she had him pinned.
Well, she said he got on top of her.
And they're pinned this time.
All right.
I think it's a pretty scary situation. And,
No. Listen, it's definitely scary. I was just curious if you
I mean, that's the fantasies you have too. This guy's out of control. His wild look in his eyes. She's probably thinking he could do anything to me. Just hold still and get through this. You know.
All right. Well, listen. If it's that bad, Drew, I think in a way, it's like incumbent on her, upon her to do something.
In a way, there is. I didn't want to put that on her, but there is.
Drew, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like once in a while, you get victimized, and then you have to go through more crap. It's sort of one of those life's not fair things.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was really all that she said, and I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying if this, you know, she was crying and this guy pinned her down kind of thing, It seems like she should talk to her cop friend about a way to go. Is there a way to sort of put somebody, get it into somebody's record without going through a full-blown trial?
That's what I said. And you said,
yeah, you can't do that. No, no, you said surveillance,
you idiot.
I don't know
what word to use. Is some,
you
somebody
want to sit, sitting outside of his house with night vision binoculars eating pistachio nuts.
Tag this guy like a caribou or something. You know, some way to put a, you know, a shine a light on this one is a problem. You know,
right,
he comes up again, it's that guy. Let's get him this time.
Right, but you're talking in a fantasy kind of way.
I know. I don't know how it's done.
But here's what I'm saying, and maybe if there's law enforcement listening
to this.
We're
going to have a law enforcement guy up here. Ann, when is that guy coming up here, the rape guy, the rape specialist? Or maybe the Torrance policeman coming up here.
Bob Rapeman?
Bob Rapeman. The crapulous. Crapulous one. February 13th. All right.
Okay, but Drew?
Yeah.
Like everyone's going to remember when February 13th comes on. Drew, please, we're on the air.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying is when he comes on, let's remember to ask him, is there any way to be on record that this guy attempted to do something to me but still fall short of a full-blown trial?
That's right. We'll make note of that.
Okay, there, Drew.
Meantime,
we'll
take breaks.
Yes, buddy. Hey, all Loveline, I'm Adam, and it's Dr. Drew. I'm in Las Vegas tonight. Drew was enjoying himself reading the dictionary in Los Angeles.
Nice.
I'm over here drinking horrible coffee in Las Vegas. And phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191. Who's coming up next week, Drew?
Next week, we've got the cast of that 80s show. We've got Jeremy
Brett. Just saw that tonight, right?
I did indeed.
How was that?
Cute.
Oh, Jesus.
It's hard to know. You got to get a feeling for those characters. You know what I mean? It's the first time you watch, I think it's hard to...
It sucked.
Yeah. No.
What, who next?
Joe Rogan.
From Fear Factor. Mm-hmm. And News Radio all those years.
Here's where we have a guy coming in who wrote a book about a pituitary, what it's like to have your testes turn on all of a sudden when you're a man. Older man.
Boring.
No, it's going to be good. You'll be surprised. Mm-hmm. He had a pituitary tumor and wrote a book about this.
Boring. Yeah. Yeah, the 14-year-olds love a guy who wrote a book about having a pituitary tumor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
We'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Jeremy's 14. Jeremy.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Yesterday I got a knob from my girlfriend.
Knobs?
Yeah.
That's a BJ, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knobs?
Yeah. Knobs. N-O-B-S.
Okay. Yeah. I never knew it was knobs.
K-N-O-B-S?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think so. Anyway, that was like the best orgasm I've ever had. And,
What, 14?
Yeah.
Jeez, I like to kick this guy right in the nuts. Best orgasm I ever had. You're 14. All right.
Anyway, it was the best one I ever had, and it's like all the other ones were all low, like low feeling, and then this one comes along, it's all big, and I just want to know why it changes in different levels and stuff.
Well, you had someone's mouth on your penis.
Had it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many different knobs have you had from different knob givers?
I don't know.
Oh, bull.
10.
Hold on. Hey, dump him then. Dump him. Idiot. Is he gone?
Yeah.
Oh, listen. You're 14.
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah. Zero.
You think at 14 you'd know how many people gave you BJs?
I would think so.
I think you'd have pretty good. I mean, let's say it was an incredibly high number, 414.
Yeah. Four.
Such as
2, 6.
Wouldn't you still kind of know?
Yeah.
All right. You think he's full of crap?
He's got it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, look, it felt good. Yeah. Enjoy.
Alice is 19. Alice.
Hi.
Hey. Oh. Here you go.
Oh. Did I tell you guys now?
Turn the radio off.
Oh, turn the radio off?
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's your chance. Go.
Okay, I was calling because I'm having trouble to see my boyfriend, like, big time. Because
what's he doing?
Oh, well, we had we were talking for like 6 months, and then we got together, and we were dating. We were together for like a month and a half, and after a month and a half, he was in jail for like 4 years.
4 years?
Yes.
How old is he?
He is 20.
Oh man.
And
4 years, 16.
Yeah, and he has a baby and everything right now, but his girlfriend, like, his ex left to Texas. He has no contact with the baby because the mom and everything, they keep them away from her.
What's your question?
Well,
how badly do you want these two to make it?
No.
Well, he played on me because...
She's an antisocial guy like that? Untrustworthy? Been in jail for 4 years and he does things that might be hurtful to you?
Well, he was locked up for 4 years, and I barely met him the last year that he's been.
Yeah, don't you find it just shocking that someone that is a ward of the state and is antisocial would do things that might be disturbing to you? Is that shocking?
No.
Yes, yeah, okay. That's consistent with somebody like that. That's all right. So he did what he's up to.
And
if we sort of had to write a script, then what we would expect him to do, that's just about what we'd expect him to do.
And, we're, like, together, and one of his friends introduced him to some other girl, and they talked and everything. And
here's the problem here. Not why can't you trust him, is why are you even thinking about trusting him again?
Well, it's because, and he slept with that girl.
Why are you even considering trusting him?
Because I fell in love with him.
Why are you even considering trusting someone like this?
Oh, boy, he's been trying to gain my trust back. Like, he's been trying and trying. So he slept.
Well, Adam, is that clear for you? Clear it up?
Yeah, he's trying.
He's been doing stuff like he didn't do before. And he's, like, he is changing, and he is, like, trying really, really hard and everything. But it's just hard for me. Like, I just, like, I'm trying to, I guess. I don't know if because of past relationships or something, and he's been trying really, really bad. I know that.
Oh, look, how long ago did he... Right then. How long ago did he sleep with this other girl?
About 5 months ago.
5 months. And you guys have been together for that past 5 months? And
yeah. Well, we broke up for a while, and then I got back with him, and he's, like, been trying really hard.
Okay.
And I just have.
Why did you break up with him?
Because he played on me. Well, he slept with that girl.
Well, that was 5 months ago, and then you guys got back together.
Yes.
And then you broke up again because of that.
Oh no, I broke up with him when he slept with that girl.
Just the
that.
One time, Adam.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second, bro.
Yeah. Why?
Am I as high as the callers, or did she not say that he did this 5 months ago?
Yeah.
And that they had gotten back together.
But then
she broke up with him.
She ultimately broke up because of this. She didn't break up immediately.
Are they not together now, then?
And then they got back together. They're together.
So you're together now.
Right?
Yes, we're together right now.
And how long have you been together?
We've been together for, like, 8 months.
Okay.
No, it's
true.
Can you see what I'm saying?
No, it's comedy. Okay.
Well, let me just get this straight.
All right.
Alice?
Huh?
You met this guy 8 months ago. Is that correct?
No. Okay, I met him at the beginning of the year.
How long have you been with him?
Huh?
How long have you been dating him?
I've been dating him for like, 7 or 8 months, something like that.
Okay, 7 or 8 months.
She doesn't get what you're asking.
Okay, so you've been together, let's just say sake argument, you've been going out with him for 8 months.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And 5 months ago, he cheated on you.
Yes.
And you broke up with him.
Yeah.
But then you got back together again. And you're still together.
Yeah.
But you don't trust him.
I can't. Like, I've been, like, trying to trust him, but it's hard for me.
But you don't trust him.
No.
Fine. Here's this lesson. Here's my number one societal priority, and I think I speak for all of North America, and then I include Canada.
Don't get pregnant.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Would that be
that? No, I haven't done anything with him.
Yes. What are you using for birth control?
Oh, I don't, haven't slept with him at all.
Abstinence.
Yes, there you go.
Perfect.
You have not slept with him in 5 months?
Oh, I've never slept with him.
Never?
No. Actually, I've never slept with nobody.
That's good.
With nobody?
No.
Why is that?
Because I'm really not like that. Like, I want to wait until, like, the right one, you know, until I get married.
Okay. But yet, you know, it's funny because when you sort of juxtapose those two personalities, you don't think dating, you know, you got the part that dates the felon, and then you got the virgin. It's a bizarre combination.
Nice.
Intriguing, but bizarre.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's all I'm saying. If the guy's proven it to you and he's turned his life around and he wants you to forgive him and he's doing everything right, then just stay with him until he screws up again. But if he gets one screw up,
there you go.
He's out. In the meantime, do think about birth control because I guarantee you this guy is a loser and losers have super sperm. I mean, this idiot already has one kid, right?
Yeah.
He's going to have another the first time out.
Yep.
So just please keep that condom in the nightstand and be prepared, baby.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Pete, who's a policeman, and he has answers for us about that rape call.
All right. After this. Hey, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Drew. Drew?
How come I... There we go.
Dr. Drew? Let's hop back on the phones and see if we can power through a few.
This is Pete, our peace officer. Pete.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. So, you have answers.
Yeah, absolutely. The girl that was raped, she needs to report it because once she does that, she's entitled to rape crisis counseling and victim witness offers a lot of things that can help her with that. And then the guy, even if she doesn't want him prosecuted, he'd be listed locally as a rape suspect, so
So all she has to do is file a report?
Right.
So she doesn't have to show up in court, she doesn't have to face this guy again?
Nope.
And that's true in all states, or is that California? Or
no, that's California. And
where was she calling from, Adam? San Francisco. Where was she calling from? She was from Washington.
How the hell do I know?
Was it San Francisco?
I don't know. I'm not where you are. I can't tell where the calls are. Hey, Officer Pete?
Yeah.
Officer Pete, really, it sounds like the kind of name, it's like those guys who showed up at 3:30 in the afternoon when you were in the 8th grade, and they had like a parrot, and they told you about crossing the street between the guidelines and stuff. What's next, Officer Pete? But let me ask you this. What's to stop someone from just coming in and putting someone's name on that list, some, you know, boyfriend they're pissed off at or, you know, disgruntled neighbor or something like that?
You know, nothing, and that does happen quite frequently. It actually does.
That's interesting.
So you can come in and file a report in the police department. I mean, isn't it sort of, aren't the police sort of obligated? Like, if you came in and said, forget rape. Would it work in other crimes? I mean, what if I came in and said, this guy pulled a knife on me and he lunged at me and he nicked me, but I'm okay. I don't want to go through a trial. I just want you to know that this guy attempted to assault me.
Yeah, it's true for just about anything, but specifically rape, it's against the law for the police to even suggest that the person reporting the rape might be doing it for a reason other than an actual crime that occurred.
Wow.
Right, but if I'd given you the story about the guy with the knife,
would you
be obligated to follow up on it?
Absolutely. And you know, if it's somebody that's just coming in, you can pretty much tell when they're, you know, just blowing, you know, smoke. And then you go to talk to somebody, because usually something doesn't happen where somebody else doesn't know what's going on, or somebody else, a third uninvolved party, doesn't actually witness what occurred. So you're pretty much.
All right, so somebody can come in and say they were violently raped, but I don't want to press charges, and you guys won't go after the guy, but his name will be down on your list.
Right, just locally, like here in our local records. But if the person actually gets arrested for it and booked, then he would be listed as having been arrested for that crime nationally, and if he moved anywhere.
They checked where that caller was. Apparently it was Arizona. I've lost similar there. Pete,
well,
you know?
How does he know?
Well, maybe he knows. Pete?
What?
Are the laws similar in Arizona to California? Arizona. Okay, so it'd be
and
true.
Washington, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
I told you, Drew, even though. Thanks, Officer Pete.
We appreciate it.
No problem.
All right, take care.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Doing the Lord's work. Unless he's writing those chicken-ass tickets.
Michael 17.
Hello?
Hey.
Yeah.
Go.
Wow.
Okay.
That was annoying.
Yeah. Danielle, 21.
How's it going?
Good.
Good.
My father disappeared about 4 years ago, and ever since then, I've noticed just recently, of course, that I can't maintain a relationship with a man.
Right.
And I want to learn how to get
What do you mean he disappeared?
Well, my mother and father divorced. I would come on the weekends to see him. Left one weekend, came back the next weekend, and he had actually moved. Picked up and moved.
And didn't tell you where he was?
How old were you?
17.
And he didn't tell you where he was going?
No. And I did 1-800-US search, had an investigator try to find him, and if he's anywhere in the U.S., he does not want to be found.
Do you think he might be part of, like, some witness protection or something weird like that?
I was never led to believe that that could have been the case. Something tells me it might have something to do with money.
Right. Well, it probably wasn't you. I mean, it was probably some deal that went bad.
Were you close with him before he left?
Yes, very close.
Oh, my God.
Very close.
But Drew, at 17, that shouldn't screw her up too
bad. Not permanently, but you can see where for a few years it would be tough for her to have a relationship.
Well, yeah, I haven't been able to experience any closure with the situation.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like, well, if after 17 years he can just leave, then this guy I've been dating for 6 months could do that too, so why even bother?
Yeah. See how it would work? See that?
Yeah. Well, here's the what is that? The 411, ladies. and gents. Guys can always leave, and so can women. I mean, everyone's capable of that. There's zero guarantees when you enter into a relationship. But the question has to be, what way do you want to go through life? Without any kind of relationship because the person may pick up and leave? Or do you want to enjoy life and the relationships and the ups and downs and the highs and lows that go with that?
Well, of course, I do want to enjoy life. I just see myself getting into a pattern where I find guys that are just enough unattainable that I can keep one foot out the door and not get attached.
Yeah.
And I want to see how to break that cycle.
Yeah, go ahead and find a guy that's available.
Completely available?
Yeah. Well, I know it's shocking to think about that as a solution, but yes, that's what you need to do.
And put her on hold, Drew, there while I go into this minor tirade. Listen, ladies, there are tons of very faithful, available, steady guys. They're guys who are loyal. They're guys who would never cheat on you. You're not interested in those guys, but there are probably more of them than the a-holes.
Yeah.
Now, the a-hole guys may only make up 10 or 15% of the population, but they spread themselves around like the goddamn Taliban. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they pollute things, and then we set up our world accordingly.
Yeah.
It's like, look at, what percentage of the world are terrorists?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But it's enough.
What, 1/1,000,000,000%?
Yeah.
But yet, we have airport screeners, we have security, we have all these elaborate things to catch them, and we're constantly on guard for this population that doesn't really add up to almost anything. It would be one drop in an ocean of people. And I think a lot of women do this.
Yeah, but look at the damage that these people do. I mean, that's...
Well, I understand that, but I would argue that these people aren't open and aren't looking for the guys. And, Drew, you know these guys, and you went to high school with them, and you went to college, and certainly there was a lot of them in med school, at least before they graduated and became doctors. Then they became a-holes. But there's a lot of super regular, loyal, humble guys. And you got to go out there and find one, and they're the majority.
Yeah.
They're just not interested.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys would be thrilled to have a woman look their way.
She knows that. She's looking for the unattainable guy. But she needs to break that. She needs to find an attainable guy.
That's right.
We got to go to break.
All right, Drew.
So here we go. Well, mercifully, another show has come to an end. Adam has returned to his crapulousness, retreated somewhere to the Luxor. Oh, no, Four Seasons, I beg your pardon, at the Mandalay Bay, where they will fold his bed back and provide him with some chocolate and some classical music, which he deserves. He's literally a millionaire. Again, so that's good. Yeah. Anyway, it's a delight when he's not here for me. It's Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Gummy spoon.